Some people call this Easter. Some people call it Resurrection Sunday. You know, and I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday because it more clearly defines what this day represents. You know, if you say the word Easter, some people think of bunnies. Some people think of chocolate eggs, little peeps. But when you say Resurrection Sunday, there's no mistaking about what you're talking about. More importantly, whom you're talking about. And this is a day that we celebrate because He lives. And because He lives, the promise is we will live. So I just want to encourage you this morning to search your hearts, to consider why we're gathered here together. We're gathered here to praise and to worship Jesus. Some people come out for Easter services or Resurrection Sunday services because it's a tradition. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you don't lose sight of who it's about. And so today we're going to focus on Jesus. Is that okay with you? Can we focus on Him, the person of Jesus Christ? And so I'm going to encourage you, just please, you can have a seat right now. If we look at the calendar, we find three incredible events in history. In December, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And just this last Friday, we celebrated another significant date. And that is a day that is called Good Friday. And that was the day in which our Lord demonstrated His love for each one of us. You know, it's easy to say, I love you. But true love has an action that goes beyond words. And He demonstrated His love as we've been singing in these worship songs and these praise songs by being literally a sacrifice for you and I, so that those that would put their trust in Him would be able to walk into a spiritual kingdom that has no end and have the assurance, the confidence that one day, just as Jesus rose first, that there will be a day of resurrection for us. You see, our lifelong enemy is sin and death. That's what the Bible teaches. And Satan, the devil, is the one who holds the keys to that. But on Good Friday, Jesus said something very profound. His very last words on the cross of Calvary was that it was finished. And when we examine that word, we know that what it means in the original Greek was that that term was used to signify the completion of a contract, the completion of an agreement. Jesus completed something very significant on Good Friday. He broke the hold of the devil, so that all of our lives, when we found we were powerless to do the things that we wanted to do, the things that we knew were right to do, Jesus broke the power of Satan over those things, so that you and I can have a choice to make a decision to either follow Him or not. Today, what we celebrate is Easter or Resurrection Sunday. He died on Friday, At least that's the day that we celebrate. But he rose again on Sunday. That's why we have church services on Sunday and not Saturday. Because he rose on this day. And some people will say, well, how do we know that really happened? Well, the source of our belief system is in the Bible. And any Christian church, regardless of the denomination, agrees on that. And the Bible says that he rose again. But even if you didn't believe that, there was a particular historian of the day by the name of Josephus. And he wrote about Jesus and the crucifixion. And I want to assure you this morning that when they looked into the grave, it was empty. It was empty because he did exactly what he promised he would do. He would rise again. So on Good Friday, his death opened a door. And that's when he said, "It is finished." Meaning that I came and I accomplished what I was sent here to do. To open a new, a better, living way into a relationship with our Father in heaven. And so that's why we celebrate. That's why we sing praise songs. That's why Lorez got out her guitar. Because we want to celebrate this day. This is not a day to be somber. This is not a day to be sad. But this is a day in which we rejoice. Not only because of what he accomplished, but because of the decision that we made to follow him. And in following him, the promise is we have eternal life. I want you to write this verse down. It's 1 John chapter 5. Verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It's a very important scripture. If it's the only scripture you remember today, then let it be this one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. There it is. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." These things which are written in here, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, in Jesus. But it's important that as believers in Jesus Christ, as Christians, that we acknowledge and agree and live like we know we're going to live forever. Now we know that for every man, for every woman, there's appointed a time to pass from this life to the next. But we don't have to live in fear of that day. Because Jesus rose this day. And because he rose this day, we can have the assurance, we can have the confidence that eternity is ours. That the promise of the Father has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we can have, listen to this, security. We can have assurance. Not a wistful hoping, but a concrete assurance. Because we know him. You know, there are people who are religious. And by that term, the way I'm using it, means that they follow the form and the shape. But God's not calling us to be religious. God has called us to be relational. Because we can know him. Now, I can't speak for any person here except for myself. I know him. I know him. I know he's real. He speaks to me. He guides my path. He directs my life. He lets me know when I'm doing the wrong thing. And he embraces me as a son. And then my prayer, my hope that this day, every person in this room can say that. That if anyone ever asks you, well, why do you believe that you're going to go to heaven? Your answer would never be because I'm a good person. Because I go to church on Sunday. Or I go to church twice a year. I give to the poor. You know, all those are good things. But there's only one answer that will really matter. And that answer is because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I know Him and He knows me. See, what we need to remember is Good Friday and Easter. On Good Friday, Jesus demonstrated His love. He loves you. For God so loved the world. That's you and He, you and me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, so that whomever would believe upon Him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's His promise. And that's a promise that you and I need to embrace and to walk out in our lives. We need to live our lives as if we actually believe that promise. In Revelation 21:6, Jesus says something at the end of time. It is done. On Good Friday, He said, it is finished. Meaning that what He came to do, He accomplished. He destroyed the works of the enemy. But it is done means that we are with Him. And so there's a period of time between it is finished and it is done. We are living in that time. Amen? And so while we live in that time, we have a promise that He will be with us, that He will never forsake us, that if we will call upon His name, He will be there. That doesn't mean He's going to answer every request. You know, if God answered every request, every single person in this room would have won the lottery 3, 4, 5 times. Come on now. But in the important issues of life, His promise is that He'll be there. And I don't know about you, but that gives me a tremendous amount of assurance. When things go wrong, when I'm experiencing difficulty, I know His comfort. Come on, don't you know His comfort? And so we're going to just take a few moments. The praise and worship team has prepared a song. And I encourage you to worship with us, to enter in. But at the same time, to realize that there are certain times in life. You know, and the title of the song just makes me think of this. It's we have to take a stand. We have to quit being ashamed. We have to quit being afraid. We have to quit worrying about what other people around us will think. And we need to take a stand. Because Jesus took a stand for you. And He subjected Himself to the humility, the horrors of crucifixion. But let us not remember Him that way. Let us remember Him as the risen Christ this day. Jesus. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah.
You stood before creation. Eternity.
Why don't you stand with me?
Your hand. And you spoke the earth into motion. My soul now to stand. and carry the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What could I do? But offer this whole God completely to you.
So I'll walk upon salvation.
So I'll walk upon salvation. Your spirit alive in me. This is life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand.
So what can I say?
So what can I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you.
So what can I say?
So what can I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you.
I know that many of you have made a decision for Jesus. On that last day, you'd be able to say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. But I also want to make sure that we give an opportunity this morning to those that perhaps have not made a decision. Perhaps have never even thought about it. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, causing your heart to quicken. And He's saying to you, today is the day of salvation. Today is your day. Jesus is saying, I made a stand for you. Will you make a stand for me? So what I'd like you to do is just bow your heads for a moment and just consider. Just close your eyes. And the only reason I ask you to close your eyes is just to close out all the distractions around you. And take a moment. And ask yourself where you are in relation to Him, Jesus. The Bible teaches that no one comes to the Father unless he goes through Jesus first. And if you're here today and you're thinking, today's my day, I want to make a decision for Jesus. I want to take a stand. Then with every eye closed, you don't need to look around, but here's what I want you to do. I just want you to raise your hand just for a moment so I can see it, and then you can just put your hand down. You're saying, yeah, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. Amen. I see that hand. You can put that hand down. I see that hand. You can put your hand down now. Anyone else? Let this day April 5th, 2015, mark the day that you took a stand and said, yes, I want Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. You might be in that place where you've taken a stand for Jesus, but you know that you walked away. Let me tell you something. God never walks away. All you need to do is turn around, and He's right there. And if that's you, you know you've walked away and you've ignored the call of God on your life. You've ignored His voice in order to do what you want to do. And let this be a day of decision where you decide to turn around. The biblical word for it is repent. And if that's you, again, I just ask that you just put your hand up in the air. Let me see that hand. And then you can put your hand down. Jesus, Jesus. Amen. I see that hand. You may put your hand down. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. You can put your hand down, sir. Amen. I see that hand. You can put your hand down. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment to pray. For those that raised their hand and said, Jesus, come into my life. And for those that said, I've been ignoring you. I've come to my senses. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the men and women that raised their hand. You know what's going on inside of their hearts. But they've made a decision to take a stand this morning. The most important stand that they will ever take in their entire life. Because this stand is not only about living an overcoming life now, but to live forever with you in heaven. I'm going to ask everyone just to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son who gave his life for me that I might have life. I am confessing Jesus that he is now my Lord and Savior and that I will live my life for him. And so, Lord God, right now, I just thank you for the work that you're doing in hearts, the work that you're doing in minds. And I ask you to bless every person that raised their hand, Lord, that they might know for sure, for certain, that you are for them and you're not against them. That you love them and that your desire is to bless their lives as they follow you. And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Now, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask Pastor Carl, maybe you and Sandra could go to the back. And I'm going to ask you if you would please see Pastor Carl and Sandra. They want to pray with you. So if you raised your hand, and we just encourage you to take another stand and go back to see them. And they're going to take you into this little room right here. You'll be able to see us. You'll be able to watch us. But just to talk to you. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. We've got a quick video that we want to show you to help us move forward in this morning.
Without Easter. Without Easter, what is the church? A community of fools gathered in an institution, worshiping a lifeless Lord, holding out the lie of hope, while dying in our sins. It cannot stand. But here we stand, 2,000 years later, proclaiming once again, He is risen indeed. So who are we because of Easter? A family of eternal siblings, gathered in a house of praise, worshiping a risen Lord, holding out the word of life, forgiven from our sins. We cannot fall because He rose.
Hallelujah! Because He rose. You see, we talked about Good Friday. We understand that during Good Friday that Jesus died. Yes, He died. But we also know there are a lot of theological things that took place during that period of time, which we won't get into. But what we understand is that closed the door to living under the old covenant, which was the law. And between Easter and the Good Friday and Easter, a new door was opened. And that new door was called the door of grace. The Bible teaches that for grace we are saved through faith. Because we believe, that door is open to us. The heavenly door is open. Our supernatural, spiritual doors are opened. You see, and that means that our lives can change as we embrace that truth, the truth of the new covenant. Without getting into covenant theology, let me just say a covenant is nothing more than a contract or an agreement. When Jesus said, it is finished, what He said is that the old covenant is finished. But what He initiated was a new covenant, the covenant of grace. And in that new covenant, there was a relationship established between Jesus and the Father, that whomever would believe upon Him would join in that covenant promise. It was like, If you made a contract with someone and you said to them, this contract that I'm making with you not only applies to you, but it applies to your children, it applies to your grandchildren, it applies to your great-grandchildren, and so on and so forth. And that's why the Bible teaches that Jesus sees us not as servants, although our calling is to serve, but He sees us as brothers and sisters. Here's an incredible word. Jesus says that you are no longer servants, but you are my what? My friends. And see, friendship speaks of relationship. Because of what happened on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, because He rose again, that means He's alive and He wants to have a spiritual relationship with you. A relationship through His Holy Spirit. We're called to be led by and directed by His Holy Spirit. But the reality is that, hey, listen, do we still face problems? Do we still face difficulties? Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, the story of the resurrection. It's covered in each one of the Gospels. That means it's important. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I'll tell you, you see that? It's hard to see the image maybe behind the words, but hey, let's blank out the words for a second. It took me a few minutes to figure out what that picture was. You know, I thought it was one of those Rorschach kind of drawings, but it actually represents a tomb, and the door is rolled away. And that's how they would often fashion a tomb. They would simply find a cave, or they would fashion a cave, and they would make this wheel-like door that would be, as they roll it forward, it would fall into a slot in the ground. It would be very, very difficult to move it out. That's what they saw on Resurrection Sunday. And what it signifies, what it imparts is that fact that Jesus is not there. You know, you can think of many world religions and they have people that they worship and but they're dead. You know, Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Jesus is alive. And just as we saw in that last video, because he rose, we cannot fall. And verse 3 says, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and they became like dead men. Man, they just passed out. They just fell over. Mighty Roman soldiers in the presence of the angel of God, and they just collapsed. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. And come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear, with great joy, and ran to bring the disciples' word. And then what we discover in the other parts of the Gospels, we and in the book of Acts, that Jesus appeared to his disciples. They touched him. He wasn't an apparition. He wasn't a ghost. He had a meal with them. The Bible says that he ate some fish. You know, and you couldn't see the fish going down his partially invisible. No. He was real. He's alive. And the word says that he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. But he didn't abandon you. He didn't forget about you, because those that would put their trust in him, he would impart with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives in you, not on you, not around you, but lives in you. Christ in you through the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we can have victory in this life. Because of that, you have certain rights as a believer in Jesus Christ. Heaven, not only is heaven guaranteed, but you have rights right now. You have to take a stand, though. You have to take your position. And the position that you and I have to take is always a position of faith. We must believe what he says. And in believing what he says, you will see it. See, the world says that if you will see it, then you can believe it. Jesus says, if you believe it, you will see it. That's what faith is. That is the position of a believer in Jesus Christ. Our position is faith. And what are we to have faith in? We're to have faith in that thing that gives us hope. That is his word. There are certain promises in the word of God that if we will stand on those promises, not just simply recite them. You know, sometimes we think that if we just recite the scriptures, that somehow they're magical. Listen, it's not about magic. It's about taking spiritual authority. You have authority as a believer in Jesus Christ, but you have to take your position. You have to take your position. I'm going to throw up here a slide, and we're going to do something together. Amen. I'm not going to just simply recite something to you. Listen, we're going to take a step of faith this morning. One of the things that I've done before, I've shared before, is something I call my never again list. You know, I've gone through life, I've lived long enough, I'm older than I look. I was told just a couple days ago how young I look. I said, you think I look young? You should see my wife. Just a baby. But I do know this, is that there is what is finished, what is done. We're living in between. We're living in between. Very quick story. When I was a young man, before I was married, I was stationed, I was in Marine Corps stationed in San Diego. And very close to San Diego is a town called Tijuana. And in Tijuana, they had bullfights. I don't know if you've ever, anyone has ever seen a bullfight, but in Mexico, in the bullfights, they actually kill the bull. So in Spain, I think they don't kill the bull, but in Mexico, they actually kill the bull. And so a bunch of us went to see a bullfight. And you know the deal. They release a bull and they torment the bull. They have men on horses. I think they call them picadors. And what they do is they ride around and they shove these spear-like devices that are hooked on the end into their shoulder, into the back of the shoulder, to enrage them, to tick them off. I could use some other words, but it wouldn't be appropriate here. And then from out of the side comes the matador. And he's dressed in tights with a funny little hat. And he's got a cape. And he goes out into the middle of the stadium, the arena, and he begins to taunt the bull. And the bull charges, and he deftly steps aside as he passes the cape over the bull. And the crowds roar. And they keep doing it, and tormenting, enraging the bull. Long story short, at a certain point, which the matador knows, he withdraws a sword. And he places a sword, and it's hidden behind a cape. And as that bull makes its last pass, it begins to run at the matador. The matador steps aside, takes the sword, and plunges it through the back of the neck into the heart of the bull. It is finished. Come on, can you hear me? It's finished. But the amazing thing is, that bull keeps running. That bull keeps charging at the matador. You see, it's not done. It's finished. The end is coming. The bull doesn't know the end is coming, but it's coming. And then this matador did, the most incredible thing I've ever seen. When the bull was about 25 yards away, and you know, just like in the movies, you know, the bull is pawing at the ground, and he begins to make a charge at the matador. What the matador does, he takes his cape and he throws it aside. And he drops to his knees. And that bull comes charging at him. And an incredible thing. That bull, it was finished, it was finished, it was finished, and then it was done. Because that bull just collapsed. And his head, the horns, right at his knees. Come on, can you get that picture? I mean, the crowds just erupted. The crowd just started cheering. And see, that's the way it is with us in life. Because of Good Friday, it is finished. The enemy of our soul has been defeated. But we're still living in this world. We're still living in this life. There's still trouble in this world. But the enemy has been defeated. You know, it's not until you and I get to heaven that we can say, hey, it's done. You know, there are no more tears in heaven. There's no more sadness in heaven. The Bible says there's no crying in heaven. But in this life, we experience difficulties. How many people know what I mean by difficulties? But I'll tell you what. God has given us His Word, and God has given us authority to take a stand. And so if we take a look at my never again list. Never again will I confess. Come on, I want you to say this with me. Say it out loud. Never again will I confess. Here we go. Let's do this together. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean? It means that I can press on and I can overcome every situation I face in my life. No matter how difficult, no matter how terrible it is, Christ, if we will look to him, will comfort us and help us and in some cases deliver us. You know, most of the time we want to be delivered from such situations and circumstances. I'll tell you what, sometimes God says, no, I'm not going to deliver you. I'm going to take you right through it. But I'm going to go with it, with you through it. And these, you know, this is not just some a series of magic words. But these words are there from the Word of God in order to inspire us, to encourage us, to cause faith to rise up in us so that we can take a stand. Never again will I confess lack. Here's a promise in the Scriptures. Come on, let's say it together out loud with me. For my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is a promise in the Word of God. But it's a promise that you have to stand on. You have to release in faith. And how do we do that? We say those words, we believe those words, and then we do the action that is required in order to bring that about. Sometimes we think that all we have to do is say the words, and no. God will do his part if you'll do your part. There are times when you can't do anything, then God will do his part. Amen? Never again will I confess fear. Boy, that's a word for all of us. That's a word for all of us. And here's the promise. Come on, let's say it together. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. A sound mind simply means a disciplined mind. Power, love. Let us do all things in love. Never again will I confess doubt and lack of faith. Come on, let's say it together. For God has given to every man the measure of faith. Oh, I don't have enough faith for this. No, God's given you what you need. God's given you what you need. You got to believe that. You got to walk in it. How about this one? Never again will I confess defeat. Have you ever felt defeated? Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Here's our faith position as a Christian. This is a position that we need to take. Here we go, together. For God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Some people say that's evidence that Jesus was a biker. I don't think that's what it means. That's not what it means.
Not anymore. Now we wear motorcycles.
Never again will I confess lack of wisdom. Come on, let's say it together. For Christ Jesus is made unto me wisdom from God. See, these are promises, and there are literally hundreds of promises that you can stand on that are in the Word of God. Never again will I confess worries and frustration. Are you ready? Here we go. For I am casting all my cares upon him who cares for me. Hallelujah. And finally, let me just define this term condemnation here. The term condemnation here means that I never have to fear hell. I am not going to hell. There's only one direction for me, and that's up because of Jesus Christ. Because he rose, I rise. Come on, can you hear what I'm saying? And so we say, when we talk about condemnation, listen, you know, everyone knows what it means to screw up, to make a mistake, to blow it, to, you know, all these euphemisms that we use. Hey, listen, it's sin. You know, sometimes we stumble, we sin. And, you know, people will come alongside you and say, oh, man, you just did it, man. You're going to hell. You know, how about this one? And you call yourself a Christian. Have you heard that one? What are they doing? They are condemning you. And this is what God has to say about that. Come on, are you ready? For there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, these are the promises of God that you and I have to stand on. But it's got to be more than just knowing the right, you know, like a prescription, you know. I need to find a scripture for this situation. Listen, if you don't believe it, it doesn't make much difference. But when you believe, heaven opens up. And heaven has opened up because Jesus went up. He rose again. We remember him on this day, but we need to remember him every day. Because every day is a day of resurrection for us. Because he rose, we will rise also. Amen? Hallelujah. Just want to encourage you this morning. Hey, listen, life can be tough. Life can be difficult. And for some of you who are not going through a difficulty right now, can I say something? I know you're not going to like what I'm about to say. It's coming. Jesus says in John chapter 16 is that you're going to face trials and troubles and tribulation. That's why in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for us that we would be strong, that we would walk by faith and not by sight, that we would stand upon the word of God, not look at this Bible as a book written by a bunch of men, you know, some thousands of years ago. No, listen, these words were inspired. God breathed these words into existence. Yes, he used men, but they wrote what he wanted written. And they are a source of inspiration, the source of life for you and me. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Tom, do you have anything you want to say? Okay. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God is good all the time. How about when you're going through a difficult time? Still good. How about when you're going through a horrendous time? He's still good. How about when you're going through the greatest catastrophe of your life? He's still good. Turn to him. Don't start looking at your situation and circumstances. Just remember that when you know that at the end of time, you're going to be with him forever, it causes your perspective to change in life. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid anymore. And his desire is that you would not be afraid. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the ushers to please come. We're going to receive communion together. When we take communion, we recognize that there are two emblems, there are two symbols that we're going to be partaking of, the bread and the wine. We use grape juice. You know, that's a tradition from years ago. But the point is that what it represents is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The body which was broken for each one of us. And we encourage everyone to take communion. Please stand. We don't discriminate. We believe everyone who has a desire to receive communion should take communion. We have no age distinctions. You can't be too young. You can't be too old. And as believers in Jesus Christ, this is what he's instructed us to do. To take the bread, the wafer, as it represents his body, which was broken for us. And we'll talk more about that in a second. And to take the cup, which is filled with grape juice, but the color signifying the color of blood. There's power in the blood. when you recognize, when you understand what it means. That on Good Friday, he shed every drop of blood for you and me. But on Resurrection Sunday, he rose up to tell us that we are in a new dispensation, a new covenant, a new place. It's not about rules and regulations only, but it's about realizing that it is through grace. His favor, his gift to us, to any person who would receive. And so as we take communion, which we wait till everyone is served, as we take communion, what we're remembering is his death, his resurrection, and one more thing. He's coming again. That's what the Bible teaches. He's coming again. My wife just said to me yesterday, we were listening to the news and the great tragedy in Kenya where 154 people lost their lives and they sought out to kill only the Christians. She said to me, "Vic, do you think the end is coming? And it's soon." You know, and it's easy for us to look at these isolated areas of great tragedy and think in our minds that, does this mean Jesus is coming? First of all, we don't know when he's coming. Amen? But secondly, if we become so focused on his return that we forget to do what we need to do now, then we're missing something. We need to be praying for believers all around the world that are suffering great persecution. You know, even in our own country, we find that Christians are being minimized, marginalized. Tremendous political efforts are being made to undermine the church, the body of Christ, and all these things point to something. And I don't know whether Jesus is coming today or tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But we need to live our lives as if he's coming today. Amen? And so, when Jesus was with his disciples on that night before he was crucified, he took the bread and he broke the bread. And he said to his disciples, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." So let's take it together. And then he took the cup, which was filled with wine. Ours is filled with grape juice. And he said, "Take, drink, for this is my blood shed for the new covenant." Then he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take it together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, whose body was broken for us, whose blood was shed for us, so that we could enter into a new covenant, a new dispensation, a new doorway. The doorway of grace. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless each person here. Bless each family represented here. Through this communion, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you have a seat one more time, please? I'm going to ask the ushers to come again. And what we want to do is we want to receive our church tithes and offerings this morning. Got the ushers doing double duty this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're looking for an offering envelope, there should be located in your bulletin. you're making out a check, just make it to ROC, R-O-C, which is Reach Out Church. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability to give. And Lord, we know that it's really not the amount that we give, but the heart with which we give it. The widow who gave just pennies in the Bible is remembered even unto this day, because she gave not out of her excess, but she gave out of her need. And so, Lord, just bless each person here. Some who are truly giving out of difficulty and hardship. But, Lord, this is their faith offering. This is their faith, their belief in action, that they are trusting you for their finances. And so, Lord, as we give this morning, we give in order to expand the work of the ministry, the church, touching all parts of the world. But at the same time, we give as a demonstration of our faith and commitment in you. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless every giver here. Lord, let their gift be multiplied back to them. Even as the parable of the sower, that as they sow, they shall also reap some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And so, Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the honor of presenting our gifts to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we receive our tithes and offerings, just one announcement. I want to remind you that next Sunday, we're planning to have a water baptism. And so if you have need to be baptized, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you want to be water baptized, then I encourage you to sign up outside. There's a sign-up sheet. Pastor Tom will be having a class this week. If you want more information about it, all that information is in the bulletin. Amen? And it looks like Vera has something she wants to share with us. There we go.
Thank you. I just want to give glory and honor to Jesus Christ, my Lord. Jesus said that he will not leave us nor forsake us. And he said that he will not leave us as orphans either. He will give us the Holy Spirit, a friend that sticks closer than any brother. Every time that we need to ask or look for something, we need to call upon the Holy Spirit. And this is my testimony today. Yesterday, I was looking for our passport. We're going to Europe in May. And my son needed the passport to get the tickets. I'm looking and looking and looking. We put the house upside down. We did not find our passport. Oh, my goodness, I said. And now, in a month and a half. Oh, Holy Spirit, I called upon the Holy Spirit. Please show me. And so many times I call upon the Holy Spirit if I misplace my keys or anything else. And the Holy Spirit shows me where it is. But this time, all afternoon, oh my goodness, I drove nuts. But I said, Steve, to my husband, we're going to pray and we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to show us where these passports are. We need them. So I let go. I went to sleep. Nothing. I thought maybe in the night the Holy Spirit would tell me, here or there it is. Nothing happened. This morning, as I got myself ready in the bathroom, the Holy Spirit showed me where I put my passports. So, and usually I have a place where I put all my important papers, but this time I don't know. I put these passports under my mattress. Oh, my goodness. And he showed me. I saw it right when I got myself ready in the bathroom. And I go out and show my husband and my kids. And I said, here it is, because, you know, you have this going to take time for new passports. And we needed them in another month and a half.
Amen.
So I just want to give glory and honor to the Lord for the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus says, I never leave you. So if you need to look for something or if you need anything, call upon the Holy Spirit. He will show you. So thank you, Lord. I give glory and honor to you.
Amen. Hallelujah.